This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. This year, our theme here in Covenant Community Church is determined to develop. We are determined to develop in our spiritual lives. When we come to the end of this year, we don't want to be in the same place we were when we started this year. Amen? We want to move to the next level in our walk with God. We want to develop spiritually. And in the last several weeks, we've been looking at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Go there with me, please, this morning. Romans chapter 12. We want to start by looking at verses 1 and 2 once again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Apostle Paul says that if we want to grow and develop in our walk with God, we can no longer be conformed to the ways of this world. Specifically, we can no longer conform ourselves to the way this world thinks and acts and behaves. Instead of being conformed to the world, Paul says we have to be transformed. And how do we do that? It's by the renewing of our mind. In other words, what we found out these past several weeks is that we need to change the way we think. How many of you have ever detected in yourself some stupid thinking? Let me just see. Stupid thinking. I ought to see more hands than this. Amen. Because I got my hand up. Amen. God says, my ways are above your ways. My thoughts are above your thoughts. As long as we are walking and in the way the world walks and thinking the way the world thinks, we will get the result that the world gets. It's only when we substitute God's way of thinking for our way of thinking that we start getting the results that God wants us to have. Now, after having told us all of that, the Apostle Paul comes to his first example of the way that our thinking needs to be changed. Look at verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Do you catch it? After Paul has told us that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, the very first thing that he tells us about that is, how do our minds need to be renewed? We need to think differently about ourselves. What do you think about yourself? I probably shouldn't do this. I won't get any hands here, so I'm safe. How many of you think you look pretty good? I knew I wouldn't get any hands, amen. Now, some of you sitting there and saying, I do look good, I'm just going to raise my hand, that's all. Amen. How many of you think you're pretty smart? Amen. We got more smart people than good-looking people. Amen. Praise God. So, catch it. We all have an opinion about ourselves, don't we? In fact, we all have a self-image, a way that we think about ourselves. And God is telling us that if we're going to develop in our spiritual life, the way we think about ourselves has to change. Why is it so important to change the way we think about ourselves? Look again at verse 3. It says, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Let me give you a literal interpretation or translation of the Greek of that passage. It says not to be high-minded above what is necessary to be minded, but to be sober-minded as God has divided to each a measure of faith. Not to be high-minded above what is necessary. Now pick up on that part first of all. It is necessary for us to have an opinion about ourselves. How many of you think about yourself a lot? Now, let me tell you something. Those of you who didn't raise your hand, I know. You're lying. If I were to be able to read your thoughts 24/7, what would your thoughts be on most of the time? What's happening to me? Did you see what she just did to me? Did you hear what she just said about me? Oh, I tell you, that guy just sure gets on my nerves. Who do we spend most of our time thinking about? Me. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. Guess what? We all think about ourselves. And God says that's natural. That's normal. Because we ourselves are the first frame of reference that we have. And so we can't help but thinking about ourselves. We can't help but have a self-image about ourselves. But here's the thing God wants us to know. Your self-image will determine your way of life. What you think about yourself will determine the way you live. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As you think in your heart about yourself, that's the way you really are. Your self-image will determine your way of life. Have any of you noticed the way that I'm dressed today? You don't need to applaud. Now notice something. I am wearing a suit, shirt and tie. Now what I'm not wearing is a blouse and a skirt. Now why am I not wearing a blouse and a skirt? Can I tell you? Because my self-image is all male. Hallelujah. My self-image is all male, but suppose I had the self-image. Suppose I got hit on the head and I got mixed up and I came out thinking I was a female. If that was my self-image, how would I come in here? Priscilla would be going, now where did my favorite skirt go? I mean, I was going to wear that skirt today. No, why am I here looking the way I look and talking the way I talk? It's because my self-image is the image of a man. And catch it. If I were to walk in here as the pastor of this church wearing a dress, what would happen? Most of you would say, Pastor Franklin has lost touch with reality. I am out of here. Isn't that right? Lost touch with reality. Amen. Well, praise God. I can tell you by faith, I will not walk in here wearing a dress. But here's the thing. As long as my self-image, the way I see myself, is out of touch with reality, it will cause me to act and behave and make decisions in a way that will lead me to disaster. This past week, driving on the roads after the ice and the sleet, I saw several cars that ran off the road. You know what happened to those cars? I don't know any of the drivers. I don't know, you know, the particulars, but I can tell you probably what probably happened to them. They were out of touch with reality. They were out of touch with reality. They got on the road. They looked down at the road. The little road looked okay. And some of them, I have to tell you this, some of them said, I got four-wheel drive. I can go where I want to go as fast as I want to go. They got out there. They hit a patch of ice. And they ended up on the side of the road someplace. Why? They were out of touch with reality. They weren't looking at the reality of the conditions that they had to drive in. And so they were going too fast for the reality of the conditions. You see, that's what that word in verse 3 of Romans 12 means. When it talks about we need to think soberly about ourselves, what that word means in the Greek is to think sanely and realistically, to see ourselves the way we really are. We have to be in touch with reality about ourselves. And the Apostle Paul goes on, what's the way that we get unrealistic about ourselves most often? Look again at that verse, Romans 12, 3. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt or to each one a measure of faith. What's the most frequent way we fail to be realistic about ourselves? We think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. We think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Is it wrong to think highly of yourself? Is it wrong to think highly of yourself? Think about it for a moment. While you're thinking, let me tell you something. I think highly of myself. In fact, let me just tell you, those of you who are maybe new, in case you haven't figured it out yet, I want you to know, I am an effective preacher and teacher of the Word of God. I got an amen from my wife. That's okay. I am an effective preacher and teacher of the Word of God. Now, is that being boastful? Is that being unrealistic? No, let me tell you what. I have to think that about myself. What would I be like to stand up here in front of you, giving forth this word, thinking it's not going to have any effect? Thinking that it's not going to have any impact in anybody's life. Thinking that nobody is going to get blessed. Nobody's life is going to get changed by what I share with you from the Word of God. How many of you would go to somebody's house that prepares a meal, puts it out on the table for you to eat, and then they stand there and you say, well, aren't you going to eat? And they look at you and say, no, I won't eat that stuff. Oh, no, that stuff no good. I don't want that stuff. Now, how many of you would go to that house to eat? No, see, if I don't think that the stuff that God is bringing through me is good stuff, I don't need to be here. Amen? Let me just divert for a moment. If you ever sit under a preacher that is just, all he's trying to do is entertain you and not see your life transformed, you are in the wrong place. He needs to be somebody who is an effective communicator of the Word of God. Now catch it. The problem is not thinking highly of yourself. The Word says it's thinking more highly than you ought to think. You see, as long as the way you look at yourself is realistic, God says you're right on it. That's the way it needs to be. But when you start placing yourself too high, then you get out of contact with reality. Now, what's the way that we normally lose contact with reality and place ourselves too high in our thinking? It's when we compare ourselves against somebody else. Isn't that right? When we compare ourselves against somebody else, because what we tend to do is this. We say, well, look, I may not be the best there is, but I'm better than so-and-so. We look at somebody else and we pick out the areas where we think we're better than they are. And what do? Kind of pat ourselves on the back, amen? Makes us feel good. Catch it. Thinking rightly about yourself. Even if that means you know that there are gifts and abilities that God has placed in you that are good, you should know that. Because that's what it takes for you to effectively use those gifts. That's what Paul is talking about. He says that you need to think about yourself according to the measure of faith God has given you. And then he goes on in the rest of the chapter to talk about the spiritual gifts that God gives us. He's saying we need to know that about ourselves. We need to understand how God has created us and made us and what our gifts and abilities are so that we can make use of that. But where we go off the track, the moment you look at somebody else and start comparing yourself to somebody else in a way that puts you up above them, you are thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think. You know, I listen to some preachers on TV or on radio, and I would catch myself thinking this: how in the world could people sit there and listen to this? I mean, they'd be so dry, you know. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, I mean, and it's like, man, you know, if I was that preacher, I'd go to sleep on my own sermon. But then God started speaking to me about that. You know, the other week, I was sitting there, and when I get home on Sundays, I'll turn on Channel 7 on the cable. And there are the Christian programs, and there's some preachers down from Lancaster and York, local pastors. And I'll have to admit to you that culturally, they are not what I listen to. Amen. And Priscilla came in the other day, the other Sunday, and said, "Why are you listening? Why are you watching that?" And you know what I said? Because it keeps me humble. Because you know what God ministered to me? I look at some people and the way they preach, listen to the way they preach, and I go, "Oh man, what are they doing?" And yet, there is somebody that person is preaching to who is getting something from them that they would never get from me. You see, God fits each one of us for the role, for the mission, for the assignment that He has called us to. And I tell you something, and I praise God for it. My assignment is not to stand here and just kind of speak. My assignment is to be at least a little bit animated. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I'm glad of it. But the guy who has a different assignment, guess what? Who am I to judge him? There's going to be somebody in heaven who would not have gotten there if I was the only preacher they ever heard. You see, God has set this thing up. He has spread the gifts around the body of Christ. And when we start looking at ourselves, comparing ourselves against somebody else, and looking at ourselves and saying, "Oh, you're so much better than they are," what we are doing is putting ourselves in a place that we ought not to be. Putting ourselves in the place of God and deciding what's good and what's not. So whenever I compare myself to someone else, pat myself on the back, I am thinking more highly of myself than I ought to think. And that is spiritually dangerous. Go with me over to Luke chapter 18. I want you to see an incident in which exactly that situation played out. Luke chapter 18, starting with verse 10. Look at this. Comparing yourself against somebody else. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself: "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess." And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." "I tell you," Jesus said, This man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The moment we take it into our mind and our heart to look at somebody else, look at their faults, look at their failures, and put ourselves on a higher level than they are, even in our thinking, we are on spiritually dangerous ground. We have placed ourselves above where we ought to place ourselves. Look at God's standard. Go over to Proverbs chapter 27, verse 2. And understand, this applies not only to what comes out of our mouths, but even to the way that we think. Because, catch it, the way that you think will come out in your attitude, even if it doesn't come out in your words. Amen? So, what God is telling us here applies in our lives, even to what we think in our own hearts about ourselves. Proverbs 27, verse 2. Let another man praise you, and not your own mouth. A stranger, and not your own lips. In other words, we don't need to be patting ourselves on the back about how good we are. Amen? We can appreciate the gifts that God has given us. Know that God is going to take those gifts and use them to His glory. But we don't need to be comparing ourselves against somebody else, thinking we're better than they are because of the particular gifts that we may have. That's something that happens in our world every day, isn't it? How many of you feel like you live in a good neighborhood? Live in a good neighborhood. Amen. All right. Now, when you drive down the street in a quote-unquote bad neighborhood, do you have an opinion about the people who live there compared to yourself? Think about it for a moment. Now, you may not say anything, but isn't it true that for a lot of us, there's just a little bit in the back of our minds of superiority? Look at where they live. And look at where I live. Or take it a step further. Look at what they drive. And look at what I drive. Amen? Or look at how they dress. And look at how I dress. Does that ever go on in the back of our minds someplace? If that ever goes on in our minds, you know what we need to do? We need to call it what it is. Lord, I'm sinned. I have set myself up above somebody else that you love, somebody else that you created, somebody else for whom Jesus died on the basis of what they've got. Amen? I asked you how many of you are good looking. Now, for those of us who are good looking, to look at the rest of you and pat ourselves on the back for how much better we look than you. We're on shaky ground, amen? Now, I better not even claim this one. But for those of us who can sing, hallelujah, to listen to the rest of you and pat ourselves on the back for how much better we can sing, what? We are on shaky ground. For those of us, oh Lord, the gracious God who can pray in public, to look at somebody else who's shy and who's not ready to step up to the microphone and lead the congregation in prayer, and we get a sense of spiritual superiority. Guess what? We're on shaky ground. You see, God says, yes, you need to understand who you are. You need to understand your gifts. You need to understand that God created you to be powerful. Hallelujah. But that has nothing to do with comparing yourself against somebody else. The moment we compare ourselves, we have stepped out onto shaky ground. There's a way we compare ourselves to other people that's kind of subtle. Probably many times we don't even realize that we're doing it. Think about it. Whenever we criticize and judge another person, we are automatically placing ourselves above that person in our thoughts. Have you ever thought about that? Whenever we criticize and judge somebody else, I look at John. Anybody here named John? I look at John and say, you know, John just does not have good common sense. Now, what am I saying? John does not have good common sense, but what am I implying? But I do. Isn't that right? How many of us criticize people for things that are wrong in our own life? Now, as fine looking as I am, hallelujah, wouldn't it be stupid of me to be criticizing somebody else for being 2 pounds overweight? Wouldn't that be dumb? No, we don't criticize people in those areas. What do we criticize? In the areas where we think we're superior. Amen? Amen? You know, well, John over there, you know, I asked him to read the Bible in the class the other day. You know, and he came to the word Melchizedek. You know what he called it? Melchizedek. And we just have a good old time at John's expense. What are we doing? Raising ourselves up, putting John down. Isn't that right? Catch it. Any time that we want to criticize somebody else, we are trying to lift ourselves up. And I want to be clear about this. We do have to make evaluations. Amen? If you come to me and say, Pastor, I'm tired of my wife. There's a nice young thing at work, and I think I'm going to leave my wife to go be with her. Guess what? I'm going to criticize your decision. Amen? Now, I'm not going to call you a fool and so forth. I'll let the Bible do that. But I am going to tell you that your decision does not line up with the Word of God. So I am not saying that we don't evaluate what people do and the way they behave. We remember from last time we saw that the Bible says even a child is known by what he does. Amen? But when we come to evaluating and judging and condemning the person, not John has done this, and that's not according to the Word of God, but John is stupid. John is crazy. John, whatever it is we want to say about John that puts him down. We have lifted ourselves above somebody else, and understand, God won't stand for it. Go over with me to James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Look at this. I mean, we get really good at this thing. You know, criticizing other people. Even if we know that we're not quite on target ourselves, we'll still find a way to put ourselves above somebody else. Look at this. James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Look at what God tells us. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge another? Do you catch it? When we presume to look at our brother, look at our sister, and judge and criticize and condemn them, God says you have lifted yourself up above where you ought to be. You have placed yourself in my place. You have made yourself a judge. Who do you think you are to raise yourself up to the position of a judge and try to pass judgment, try to pass condemnation on somebody else? Understand, God won't stand for it.